Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Assholes and non-assholes alike.
What up?
Welcome back. We had a week away. Unplanned week away.
Yeah.
Are you feeling better, Jason?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good, 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 good. You gonna stop eating fecal matter?
Oh, man. I can't wait. I have a whole story for it.
Oh.
And we like, just let me know when it's when I can tell you about how I got sick and why I got sick.
Oh, well, you know what? Let's get to that in just a second. Hello, Kareem.
Hello there.
All right, Jason, what happened?
I want to know, too.
Yeah. I mean, why put it off?
Okay, so so Chris, during that week, right, so this was 2 weeks ago, it was Science and Technology Week at the Capitol, which was like Chris has been planning for this for months and months and months. It's their big time, and it's like they have the heads of all the labs. Anyhow, it's a lot of work stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it meant me coming home from work and me, you know, being with CJ by myself for, you know, most of the night usually, until 9 or 10, you know. So this was Thursday night, Wednesday night. Put the kid to sleep. She'd eaten a lot of beans and rice, all right, for dinner. About 8:30, she'd woke up. She started crying a little bit, and I'd had her down for about an hour and a half. And I was like, well, she shouldn't be up yet. It, you know, she probably just woke herself up. So I'll let her just cry it out for a few moments. So about 3 minutes into her crying, the crying changes from crying to like deathly ill screaming, you know, like, and then, so I got some milk out because mom wasn't home. So maybe she wanted some milk to give her, so give her some breast milk. I go in there and I pick her up and it's in the dark and she's wet. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry I let you cry for so long. You're soaking wet from crying. And then I picked her up and I like held her next to me and I was like giving like up to my cheek. And then I smell, and realize that she's like, that it's puke. Like she'd thrown up. So I turned the light on and like there's a bunch of puke in her crib and there's puke on her. And it's all over the place.
In your beard hair.
It's all over me now because I picked her up and it was all over me now. So, like, now I have to run to the bathroom and try to get naked, get her naked, so we can get into the shower and get clean because we're covered in puke. All right? So, I do that.
I don't know if that's all right, but okay.
That's what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Kareem? What do you do in that situation?
That's pretty much what you do.
It's what you have to do. You got it. That's it. You got to do it. Like, there's really nothing else you can do. So I got her clean. I got myself clean. I was walking around naked, like, for a little bit because I was trying to take care of her, and that was the number one thing. Finally got some shorts on, had her, and then I... went clean up her stuff, like her bedding, put a new bedding on, got the wash started, got everything done. It's like 8:30 now, right? 8:45, 8:50. Call Chris. Just see where she is, how she's doing. She's on her way home. She'll be home in 20 minutes or so. Oh, man. So I tell Chris, she's like, she'll be home. Just as soon as I hang up with Chris, I have CJ on top of me, and all of a sudden she starts throwing up on me. And, like, it's not projectile vomiting. It's just, like, coming out of her, like, dribbling out of her mouth almost. And it's like, does it either go onto the couch or does it go onto me?
It goes onto you.
It goes onto me. So, like, I just have it. I'm just, like, just puke it out. Just puke it out. I'm holding her right above me just, like, to puke on top of me. You know, then, like, now I'm covered in puke. She's covered in puke again. So I clean her up. So I'm pretty sure that that's what got me sick. All right. So I stay home the next day with her.
Right? Sure.
I wasn't sick. And she actually was fine. You know, she actually was amazing. Like, she threw up during the night a couple more times. But next morning, she was fine. Next day, she was fine. Sent her back to school on Friday. Okay. As I'm getting up in the morning on Friday morning, all of a sudden I throw up. and that's it. I mean, like, it just took, what, 36 hours, you know? And I got it. And, yeah, I was able to sneak out and see Black Panther. When I was sick. Yeah. So then that was my Monday, was also, like, there was a, it worked its way, I'll say it came out, it went out a different way than it came in.
Sure.
So.
Like March, I mean, in like a lamb and out like a lion.
And it was, like, it was ridiculous, and it was horrible.
No, I'm perfectly happy to cancel the show and not deal with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I figured you guys didn't want any part of any of that.
Well, no, and Kareem wasn't, Kareem had a guest in town, so he was unable.
Yeah.
To do the show anyway. We already knew about that. So, yeah, so. It was all good. It was all good.
But I've heard that happens a lot when you have babies. Like, just they're like kids. It's going to happen.
Oh, you wait till she gets in school.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen then. Here's what's going to happen then.
I haven't thrown up for I don't know how many years. Like, at least four when I stopped drinking. At least four. You know what I mean? Like, at least since I stopped drinking, I haven't thrown up for sure.
Yeah, get used to it.
Oh, man. We go live to Jason's house.
At least till she's about 12.
Oh, man. Chris didn't even get it. Chris didn't even get it. And that baby's attached to her, like, pretty much 70% of the time when she's home.
Yeah, but she wasn't there during the...
There I go. Thinking of you again
during the fever part of it.
Oh man,
that's rough.
It was rough.
That is rough.
It was.
Think about that. Think about that when you put that deduction on your taxes.
What fucking deduction, Jesus?
The child deduction.
$1,000.
There you go. You'd let somebody throw up on you for $1,000.
I guess, yeah. And she's pretty awesome right now, too.
Maybe not 3-4 times. All right, well, that's horrifying.
yeah, it is.
It's really horrifying. So just, there you go.
Just like, if you, like, to ever think, like, I never, ever thought I would be, like, just throw up on me. Just go for it. Just throw up on me. I never thought I would ever feel that way or say that to another human being.
Oh, man. So it's babies and your parents, once they get to a certain age.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed at,
Well, I think it's probably anybody that you care about on a much deeper level. You're more concerned with their welfare than you are Yeah. With the nonsense that's going on at that moment.
Yeah, and actually when you're married or in a living relationship, then you'll deal with that.
Seriously, who hasn't, I mean, if you've been to college, you've dealt with people throwing up on stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but not you. Like, you don't.
Well,
you know,
not like that.
Not like that.
Well, you could.
You could, but
you could.
Yeah.
If you,
yeah.
The drunk enough girl.
Drunk enough girl, yeah.
Drunk enough girl, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You got to know when to do it talky style. Oh, my gosh. And not cowgirl. Only reverse cowgirl. Oh,
that's it. At the end of the bed.
Only reverse cowgirl.
At the end of the bed.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's how you got to do it. Kareem, how was your week? You had a guest in town?
It was good. It was good to see him. He's going through some drama with his baby mama.
Oh.
Word to the wise for white men, never talk to a black man about his children.
Done.
Especially when it comes to the way him and his, the partner is dealing with the situation.
Now, is this limited to situations where they are not together as a couple?
That one is like a little step above.
Sure.
Yeah. And especially if you don't know the person.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, look, everybody does that. Everybody goes up and goes, hey, how are your kids? Here's the thing. If I don't know you that well, I probably don't care how your kids are.
Yeah. So
I'm going to go with how's your weekend And then if you throw in a bit about your kids, you go, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
I'll ask Jason about his daughter because I like Jason. Jason's my buddy. Hmm. I like his daughter.
Yeah, some jackass sent him a Facebook message about the state of things between his ex and him about the kid.
Oh, no. That's only in person and only if you were really close.
Yeah. So
yeah, like you've had holidays together.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Like, what do you think? Like, if he whoops your ass when he sees you, it's like justified. Like, that's why I'm telling you, don't do it. That's like an ass whooping waiting to happen. Mm. I'm going to punch you in your face every time I see you on principle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Until I get it out of my system thing. So just a word of advice, like stay out of that.
Look, I go through life with this rule. I will casually ask in broad terms about things unless you are a very close friend of mine.
Yeah.
And even then, it's probably, I'm going to give you an opening. If you choose to share, fantastic. I'm all about it. I'm not going to pry. And that's the difference between men and women mostly. Women want to know, there's like a bunch of follow-up questions, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know why I don't know? Well, don't you care? No, I care. I'm just not going to ask.
Exactly.
Because that's how we do.
I care enough not to ask.
That's right. I care enough not to know the answer to that.
That's right. Because if he wants me to know, he will tell me.
Mm-hmm. People will tell you way more stuff than you want to know.
Yes.
You don't need to be that inquisitive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they come on the show, that's one thing, but
this weekend was the combine, and if you don't really know, I am like a football nut, and actually this part of the year is almost, for me, it's almost as good as the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. This is all the behind-the-scenes stuff that sets everything up for the NFL.
Yeah, I think I should have been a general manager for a sports team.
Well, you missed out because, one, you're black at the wrong time.
Yes, I was. Yes, I should have been a general manager for a sports team. Because I pay attention to sports like that.
Here's the thing. If you're 20 years younger than you are right now, then you'd have a real shot.
Yeah.
But as we both know, 20 years ago... Not a lot of paths forward for a black man in any sport, really.
No.
In that realm. It's changing a little bit by a little bit, so that's good.
Yeah.
Speaking of changing, the Oscars were Sunday. Did either of you guys watch any of the Oscars?
Unfortunately.
I watched 2 minutes of it.
Did you watch the part where the guy from Get Out ran out and yelled, "Get out"?
Yeah.
But they never actually did that during the show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There's a lot of going over on stuff. here, we get it. Time's up.
Yeah.
We get it. It's okay. Yes. And these four men and Greta Gerwig. Okay. I understand it's a big deal to have a woman nominated to be Best Director. But act like you've been there before, because you have. Catherine Bigelow won.
Yeah.
A few years ago. Are there women that should be nominated that aren't? Probably.
Yeah.
But act like you've been there before. Act like you belong at the table. Act like you belong at the table, and you will be treated like you belong at the table.
Exactly.
Pulling that nonsense only highlights the fact that maybe you're not ready to be at the table.
So,
but she also like completely ignored the fact that like there was two people of color that are part of that also that aren't usually.
They don't matter because it's all about the women right now. No, Jason. But the people of color don't matter.
It's not even the white women. It's the white women. It's all about the white women.
I mean, it's a white woman thing.
Where do white women at?
No, I mean, like, but it's funny because like you see it. The more you look, the more you see it with what they like. As soon as like she has like. I was like, why did she say that? Like, there was a difference between that and what happened at the Golden Globes. Like,
you get a pass at the Golden Globes because it was the very first big award show after everything went just absolute demolition.
Well, but, and also though too, like there was no women that were nominated. So like, and clearly Greta Gerwig probably should have been nominated at the Golden Globes. So mm-hmm. like, there was,
There was a reason.
There
to
was
say
a possible it. Reason to say it. But the, when that was, there's no like that was. There was a lot of representation across the board.
There was a lot of there was a lot of girl power, which, you know, great.
Yeah. So, I mean, so Greta Gerwig got a, got nominated for a movie dedicated to white women.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
And to Sacramento, Kareem. Come on.
Sacramento white women. Same thing.
I've not seen the movie yet. I haven't seen the movie yet, but the best picture was The Shape of Water, which is about a really skinny, deaf mute woman who fucks a fish man.
Yeah. My girlfriend saw that and she was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, my in-laws saw it, and they're like, yeah, nah.
she got like halfway through the movie and checked out.
I didn't need to see the movie to say, yeah, no. But this came out, this is Monday, came out in the Huffington Post. Headline, How the Shape of Water Makes People with Disabilities Feel Less Human. Because it's never enough.
So, what the fuck?
That's right. And they read this article about this woman who was psyched when she heard about Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water. As a speculative fiction author and editor who is legally blind and deaf, she couldn't wait to see a science fiction film featuring a protagonist with a disability. Said, I was super excited to potentially see a movie about a disabled woman as a hero in a genre setting. The film, which won 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, stars Sally Hawkins, who is the thinnest white woman ever, as a cleaning woman who works at a top-secret government lab in the 60s. She is mute, lives a lonely life, despite having 2 caring friends who are also outsiders. By the way, if you've got 2 friends, then you shouldn't be that lonely.
They're choosing to be alone.
If you've got 2 close friends, then you should not be lonely. Period. Anyway, so they have a problem because I'm not going to read through the spoilers in case you're one of those people that wants to see her fuck the fish man. Spoiler alert. She said, I wanted to walk away from the movie feeling like, yay, I got to see a disabled main character have lots of agency and engage in lots of badassery, but that's not what I got. What she got instead was a love story in which a character who is disabled falls in love with a creature from a black lagoon because he's the only being she can relate to on a deeper emotional level.
Stop. 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 Shit. Look. Stop shitting on things because they don't make you feel sunny inside.
They didn't meet your inflated, unrealistic expectation of what you were going to get. I went into Star Wars expecting to see Oscar Isaac kick some ass. All I got to see was 2.5 hours of him being emasculated by a bunch of women in power. That's literally that. By the way, if you haven't seen Star Wars yet, spoiler alert, it's 2.5 hours of emasculating Oscar Isaac's character. Wow. 2.5 hours of that. Telling him to go sit down and he doesn't know what he's doing.
That sounds about right.
That is the latest Star Wars movie.
I haven't seen it, but that's
well now does sound now about you right. Now you have.
Oh, and Luke Skywalker.
Now
dies.
You have. Listen, Luke Skywalker, whatever. That movie is an hour. When they're not emasculating Oscar Isaac, it's Luke Skywalker just wandering around an island, telling Rey he doesn't want any part of it.
Yeah.
That's the rest of the movie. That's it. I've broken down Star Wars into the 2 things that are happening, the A story and the B story. We're emasculating Oscar Isaac.
And nobody expected Luke to come out of this alive.
And Luke Skywalker is wandering about an island going, look, I don't want any part of this. This is all bullshit.
He's the same whiny little bitch from the first one.
They threw him a bone. That's all it was. they had to tie up that story. That's all it was.
Well, here's the thing, though. Having Mark Hamill in the movie, it really gave it a lot more gravitas than it would have had otherwise. Because if you don't have, because you already lost Harrison Ford because he said, fuck this noise.
Yeah.
So you've only got 2 of your 3 main Star Wars characters in it.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for Princess Leia to die in the movie. Spoiler alert, she doesn't. Well, she does, but she comes back to life. Okay. By the way, if you haven't seen Star Wars yet, fuck you. I'm not spoiling it.
Yeah, no, if you haven't seen
it, get over it.
Well, she has soap, seen it by
she,
now.
Did she have a soap opera death?
So, no, yes, no. I mean,
she is technically, you know.
I mean, Carrie Fisher's dead. She had filmed the entirety of this movie before she passed away.
Yeah.
So, but I was expecting that to be somehow incorporated into the plot. And then when she dies in the movie, I'm like, oh, that's how they're going to handle it. Okay.
Yeah.
Except then she comes back to life.
Yeah.
Okay.
To tell Laura Dern, you did a great job. She didn't do a great, she did a great job emasculating Oscar Isaac and getting a bunch of people killed because of it. But she taught him a lesson. Star Wars. Anyway.
That scene though right there, like that happens though when she goes to light speed, like that was like an awesome cinematic. There's like some really awesome scenes in that movie, like cinematically, like that was the silence that happens right there. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like, looks fucking awesome. And then also the land racers with the sand, the salt.
Jason really identified with a man being emasculated for two and a half hours.
Nah, man, fuck whatever, man. I'm just saying there's some really awesome stuff that happened in it.
We love you, Jason.
I was fine. I get what you're saying.
Listen, Star Wars was fine. It was a Star Wars movie. It was fine. There was a lot of special effects. There was a lot of pew-pew. There was a lot of pew. It was cool. It was fine. But, and by the way, if you're a woman who loves watching men being emasculated, you're going to love this. Star Wars. Welcome to Disney's Star Wars.
They wanted to make sure the women came out with their boyfriends.
They're coming out.
Yeah.
They are coming out.
Oh, man.
So, meanwhile, some sad news related to the Oscars. The founder of Tower Records died at 92 years old while drinking whiskey and watching the Oscars.
That's a good way to go.
It really is. He died
the drinking whiskey part, not necessarily watching Oscar.
He died with a drink in his hand and a smart aleck remark on his lips. The swashbuckling visionary entrepreneur who built a global empire in the most famous company in Sacramento history died Sunday night of an apparent heart attack at 92. He was watching the Academy Awards at his Sacramento area home when he was stricken, and that's according to his son Michael Solomon. Ironically, he was giving his opinion on what someone was wearing that he thought was ugly, and then he asked his wife Patty to refill his whiskey. When she came back, he was dead.
92
is a good run.
That's a good run, yeah.
That's a good run. So yeah, he's big deal. If you were outside of Sacramento, now Tower Records was a big deal everywhere.
Yeah.
But if you're out, there is a huge difference in what Tower Records is for people in Sacramento as opposed to people somewhere else. And if you see the documentary, All Things Must Pass, which is a phenomenal movie, saw it at the Tower Theater.
I did too.
Bought the DVD, got the Blu-ray. You get an idea about it. So I encourage everybody to watch that. You get to see a little bit of Russ Solomon in that, and as well as the whole thing. And for a documentary about the building and failure of a business, because that's really what it was.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was a great. When I first got out here in the Air Force, that was one of the places I spent a lot of time, especially on paydays.
Oh, sure.
Going through, listening to music at the listening stations, and finding new artists.
Well, that's one of those things that that hasn't existed for 15, 20 years now, for sure.
Tower Records went out of business in 2006. It was the year before I got to Sacramento.
So, but I mean, as far as like that culture and like that idea of going to the store to look at what was coming out on Tuesday, or what was coming out on Friday, you know what I mean? Like whatever the release date was.
Because you never got to experience. So when you would go in, they would have like a carousel of CDs,
mm-hmm.
and they would like of different genres. And so they would have stuff playing, and you would be like, oh, man, what's that?
No. I went to the Tower Records in Boston. I've been to a Tower Records. I just did not get to experience it here in Sacramento. Yeah, and there wasn't one in Vermont. It was like I went like once or twice to the one in Boston.
And then the board that would always have the new releases that were coming out every Tuesday, and then just walking around through the aisles, the listening station with the various, like I said, you just – it was a way of finding, like, I would find music and people would be like, where'd you get that at? And I'd be like, I was listening to Station at Tower. And then, you know, later on that person would become popular, but then it'd be like, mm-hmm. it's just, it's a great place to be. I met a nice redhead with, big old tatas and, nipple piercings.
It's a heartwarming story.
Yeah.
She worked at the Annex downtown.
Hashtag time's up.
Yeah. I met this dude with some big ass titties.
That's it.
Look at them titties.
And then Paul Mooney made a breakout with me.
And then, so on my way home tonight, one of the electronic billboards, there was one screen that was dedicated to Russ Solomon.
Oh, cool. I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's on the electronic billboards. I'm sure it'll be up for a few days.
Yeah.
But yeah, 92. Hell of a run.
Yeah.
Hell of a run.
So, yeah. Great life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his story is a fascinating one.
Yeah.
And, you know, just really amazing stuff. All right. Speaking of fascinating people, this time somebody I don't care for. There's a new lawsuit against ESPN. From a former legal analyst there, Adrian Lawrence. She's suing the network for sexual discrimination and hosting a work and a hostile work environment. And the lawsuit, she specifically named SportsCenter anchor John Buchagross and claims that fellow ESPN personality Chris Berman left a, quote, threatening voicemail on Jemele Hill's phone.
That's not your business. If he had left it on your phone, that's one thing. If Jemele Hill's not talking about it, it's not your fucking business to put it out in the streets.
Well, she's trying to win a lawsuit. We do have some screenshots of John Buchagross texting back and forth with her.
She was fucking him.
I don't know.
I already seen this. This is an old story. She was sure. Fucking him. I already know.
Now it's a lawsuit.
Yes. No, I mean, yeah, it's been a lawsuit. ESPN let probably like 200 people go last year.
Yeah, it did.
You were not better than the 200 people that they let go. Sorry. Had nothing to do with you as a woman or a black woman. Nothing. They let fucking, Serena Morales go, who was on in the morning. Jamie Sayer went with, those cuts. You weren't any better than any of those people. And they were on like every day. You were a person that dropped in or did a show on a weekend. You were like a weekend substitute. You weren't a staple. And they let go of some staples in these layoffs. So go do like everybody else did. Find another fucking job.
Well, she's a lawyer. So her job is suing people. So she's doing her job. She specifically says that ESPN host John Buchagross made her life a living hell after she rejected his, quote, unwelcome advances.
Read the text messages. They were fucking. And she got mad when he said that they were dating. That's why she got mad. Because she wanted to be able to still get some dick on the side. That's what she got mad about. And then she threw him under the bus when this happened. She's a piece of shit.
Here's the thing. Jemele Hill and ESPN, neither are saying anything.
Yeah.
They will not talk to TMZ about this.
Again, if it was something that Jemele Hill wanted, Jemele Hill talks about everything.
Yeah, she's not shy.
She's not shy. Matter of fact, Jemele Hill's probably cussing this chick out for putting her shit out in the street.
Like, that was for my book.
Yeah. No, she's cussing her out for putting that shit out in the street. Because if she had wanted somebody to know, she would have said something. So this goes back to the same thing as I said earlier about the white men talking about. Like, don't be putting other people's shit out in the street that they don't want out in the street. Like, if you got a problem with somebody, that's your problem. Do not include my name in your shit unless I tell you that it's okay. I don't think Jemele told her it was okay because we would have already heard about this.
Clearly. Yeah. I mean, so, look, if you want to put it out there to strengthen your case, don't mention Jemele Hill's name.
Yeah. So you're going to tell me, with the shit that Jemele went through with ESPN in this past year.
Right. Like 4 months ago.
That if this was really like the case, she wouldn't have used that as leverage at some point. No, if she didn't use it, you don't have a right to use it. So you're a piece of shit.
Cause here's the thing. Maybe Chris Berman did leave a disparaging voicemail, but maybe at some point after that, she and him had a conversation, and he apologized, and she went, "We're good."
Yeah, exactly.
That is entirely possible.
Exactly.
And you don't know.
It's not your business.
Because it's not your thing. Hey, speaking of not your business, remember when Colin Kaepernick was really close to signing with the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah.
And then they didn't sign him last year? Yeah, apparently a high-ranking U.S. military official counseled the Ravens about signing Colin Kaepernick and made it very clear that he was not a fan of him. TMZ Sports has learned when Ravens head coach John Harbaugh was considering signing Kaepernick to the team before last season, he sought advice from some trusted friends. TMZ Sports learned at least one of those friends is a high-ranking member of the U.S. military who essentially told Harbaugh to seriously consider if the national anthem demonstration fell in line with the team's core values. He didn't outright say don't sign him, but advised the team to give Colin a set of specific guidelines he needed to follow if he wanted to keep his job. Translation, if he kneels, he's fired. So, he was never hired. Interesting. Not shocking.
No, but fuck that guy too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, what? Why is this your business? Why are you getting yourself involved with this? And speaking of that, I wasn't planning on going that there, but anyway, it's been denied now. The Texans are now denying a report that they won't sign any player who protested during the national anthem. There was a report in the Houston Chronicle on Monday saying that the owner of the Texans,
he said it,
right, would not sign any player who was protesting the anthem.
Now, your team almost walked out on you. You don't think, because of the bullshit you said, you don't think that we believe that you actually said it?
Well, exactly. And here's the other thing. The Texans are not a good team. Bob McNair is one of the big supporters of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Who made the whole thing about players protesting a bigger deal than it really needed to be. It's their right to protest.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up, President of the United States. So that all happened. And if you remember, Bob McNair is the one who got into a little bit of trouble by saying that the inmates were running the prison.
Yes.
Referring to the players. He might be just a little bit racist.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit racist. And not like in that Broadway song that's everybody's a little bit racist. He might be a little bit more racist.
Just a scooge.
Just a scooch more racist. All right, so if you watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, they did a profile on NRA TV. And this was one of the things that he highlighted. I had this in the show rundown before that, and this is from last April. So this is not new.
Oh.
This is not a new video that they've put out. This has been on their site for a while. So let's take a listen to... I forget how her last name is pronounced. Dana Loesch, Dana Lash, whatever. Anyway, the title of this video is "Freedom's Safest Place: The Violence of Lies."
Their media to assassinate real news. They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance, all to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding, until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
What the fuck?
Okay. So, one of the big takeaways. So, NRA TV is full of nonsense. But the biggest takeaway from the John Oliver piece on Sunday that I got, aside from him making fun of the low quality of their stuff in the overdramatic part of it, as you just heard there, is the fact that the NRA is really about one thing, selling more guns
exactly.
and gun accessories. If you support the NRA, understand that. And if you're okay with that, great. But don't buy their line of bullshit, because they're trying to sell you guns and tell you it's freedom.
Yes. And do not equate the ideas of NRA members with the ideas of the people who run the NRA.
Yeah, because the NRA members are the people who have bought a gun wrapped as freedom.
Yes. And they actually believe in the same, 90% of them believe in the same gun rights as everybody else do. The same common sense things that people think, that most people believe
right.
in.
That crazy people shouldn't have
that
guns.
That crazy people shouldn't have guns. 90% of them believe that. The people in charge talk out of one side of their mouth about that, and then the other side is about getting you to buy guns. It's about selling guns. I had this conversation with my boss last week. He's like, well, I don't think the NRA, like, no, you're not talking about the people, the everyday people that are in the NRA.
Right.
The people who run the NRA have a whole different agenda. They have the Donald Trump agenda. We're going to lie to you to get you to buy guns. We're going to scare you to get you to buy guns.
The NRA is funded by the gun manufacturers. That's what they are. They're a lobbying organization for gun manufacturers.
Yes.
Understand what they are.
Yes.
And you can go with the rhetoric that they're a terrorist organization, or you can go with the rhetoric that they are here to make sure that you can fulfill your Second Amendment right. Those two things are opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
But don't forget, they are there to sell more guns.
Exactly.
And guess what? They do it by trying to scare you, and they do it by trying to wrap it up as freedom or pride. Sometimes they do it with old country music stars.
To the Ayatollahs of Iran and every terrorist you enable, listen up. You might have met our fresh-faced flower child president and his weak-kneed Ivy League friends, but you haven't met America. You haven't met the heartland, where the people will defend this nation with their bloody, callous, bare hands. That's what it takes. You haven't met the steel workers and the hard rock miners or the swamp folks in Cajun country who can wrestle a full-grown gator out of the water.
You haven't met the swamp folks. Actually, I have. They have their own TV show.
It's overrated.
We're only halfway through the Charlie Daniels ad, Jason. Get ready.
You haven't met the farmers, the cowboys, the loggers, and the truck drivers.
No, I've met a lot of those people. I've met a lot of those people.
You don't know the mountain men who live off the land or the brave cops who fight the good fight in the urban war zones.
The urban war zones. Can you pick up the undertone in that one? The urban war zones.
No, you've never met America. And you ought to pray you never do. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
I'm the National Rifle Association, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Safe. Jason is speechless.
Just saddens me so
your weak-kneed Ivy League colleagues. Have you met people from the Ivy League? Have you met people that do that? Have you met people who have the strength and motivation to study and get through those organizations?
Have you met anybody that is on the board of the NRA, you fucking idiot? Like, let's look at who's on the board of the NRA and how many of them have some type of Ivy League degree or went to some type of school. Even West, I'll consider West Point fucking Ivy League.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, this is.
So let's see like
it's
really
difficult
let's
to
see
get
that
in
this,
as any Ivy League school.
It's true. One more. This is from the the head of the NRA, Wayne LaPierre. This is his Freedom's Safest Place ad.
Cares more about appeasing Islamic terrorists than defending the constitutional rights of its citizens.
Hold on. Let me get right back to the beginning. So this is from 2015, and he's talking about President Obama.
What kind of government cares more about appeasing Islamic terrorists than defending the constitutional rights of its citizens? A government that would disarm us during the age of terror. Nothing would make us more vulnerable to generations of suffering and slaughter than the destruction of our Second Amendment. But many of our politicians, aided by a relentless media, are launching that attack themselves. They dream of joining the rest of the disarmed peoples of the world, entrusting our survival to the mercy of monsters. The greatest damage the terrorists could ever inflict upon us is disarmament at the hands of the political elites. But we will never offer our right to survive as a fool's ransom to the world's killers. Our freedom is what they fear most. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
So on 9/11, how many people went out there with their rifles and shot down them terrorist planes?
None.
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. So that's what's going on with the NRA.
They've got a
strong marketing plan, and they're here to sell you guns.
And they don't care who sells. There's a black guy that's on there too.
No, they don't care. They're there to sell you guns. Period. End of story.
That's it.
End of story. Now, how ridiculous has it gotten? Well, Jason, you and Pat Robertson are now on the same side.
No.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Done the act. So that's one of the things. The other thing is, ladies and gentlemen, I am a gun owner. I have hunted. I have shot skeet. I've gotten awards when I was in the Marine Corps for shooting. I've got no opposition whatsoever to shooting. But for heaven's sakes, I don't think that the general population needs to have automatic weapons. It just doesn't have to have Russian-built or Chinese-built machine guns. It just doesn't. I mean, it's one thing to defend yourself with a pistol or a shotgun to hunt with. Something else to have. And I think we can ban those things without too much trouble. And they have what they call bump stock that was... You hit it, it would all go automatic. And I mean, we can stop that. And then there has to be some medical background check. If somebody is seeing a psychiatrist, is on medication, he or she needs to be prohibited from being turned loose to the general population. It's just got to be, you know, it's sensible. But as far as the right of the people to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment, and we're all for it, done the act. So that's one of the things.
So, Pat Robertson is talking sense. What is going on?
Jesus is coming back next week.
And he's got a pistol.
So, and I ranted about this a couple of weeks ago. You're not hunting with an AR-15.
No.
If you are, you don't know how to hunt.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't even know how somebody would be able to hunt with that. Like,
you can't. It's not legal to hunt with an AR-15.
But even if you wanted to hunt with it, like, there's really no way. Like, by the time, like, you're going to be chasing the animal, like, once it goes off. You know what I mean? Like, you get one. You don't get a bunch of shots in order to kill an animal.
If you're hunting, you're only supposed to take one shot.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and you don't want to shoot it anywhere where the meat is. You want a headshot or a heart shot.
Yeah, and the thing about an AR-15 that we talked about before is the entrance wound is small and the exit wound is big.
Yes.
So if you hunt with an AR-15, you won't have anything left to eat.
Exactly.
Unless you get a headshot.
Then you won't have a trophy.
Exactly. But, you know, who cares? Yes.
It was, that's what people do that for. There are two reasons. They hunt for food and for trophies.
Yes. Oh. So sorry to hijack the show for a second, but to go back to Jemele Hill's situation, this is the statement that she said. A few years ago, I had a personal conflict with Chris Berman, but the way this conflict has been characterized is dangerously inaccurate. Chris never left any racially disparaging remarks on my voicemail, and our conflict was handled swiftly and with the utmost professionalism. I felt as if my concerns were taken seriously by ESPN and addressed in a way that made me feel like a valued employee. Frankly, I'm disappointed that someone I considered to be a friend at one point would misrepresent and relay a private conversation without my knowledge, in which I simply attempted to be a sounding board for personal gain.
Well, we nailed that one.
Yep. So.
Pay attention, white people.
That's it. And stop using people like.
Well, actually, in this case, she's black. But
still. But she should have known better. Like that, and that, look, so she's doubly at fault because she should have known better. She knows she don't do that shit.
Right. All right. Well, in some sad news out of Ohio, I hate to bring this to you, but it's important that we let people know. A theft suspect attacked a Family Dollar employee with a wet floor sign after she was confronted for pilfering items from the store. That's according to Ohio police. Police are seeking the public's help in identifying a pair of women who were boosting items from a discount store in Columbus earlier in February. There they are, Kareem.
You said Family Dollar. I already knew what it was.
there's a photo of the one woman swinging the wet floor sign.
I'm surprised she didn't fall with it.
it was a wet floor. Suspects, cops say, were spotted stuffing Family Dollar merchandise in their clothes. When confronted by a store worker, one of the women, who was wearing a pink coat and an orange shower cap, as you do, pushed, punched, and spit on the employee trying to prevent the theft. The woman's accomplice also allegedly pushed the male employee as he tussled with the other thief. During the assault, the woman wearing the shower cap picked up the wet floor sign and swung it at the Family Dollar worker. She then threw the yellow sign at the victim. Before fleeing the scene in a white SUV, the duo warned that they would return with familial backup.
I'm going to get my cousin. He's going to come back and whip all your asses.
The shower cap enthusiast eventually returned to the company in the company of four males. The group then unsuccessfully scoured the store for the male worker with whom the female suspects had tangled. Before departing, the posse members each grabbed food items and fled the store.
This just sounds like straight out of like gangland. Like it's like 1935, like prohibition times, like. No. Gangster stuff.
See,
man.
No, because with the story, she didn't tell them the story.
No, the story. I know the story she told them, but go ahead, Kareem. Tell
the story she told them was that the dude. If it was a white guy, she said he said something racist to her.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a black guy, he said he either spit on her or hit her. She didn't say nothing. They didn't say nothing about them stealing.
Yeah, she in her story. This Family Dollar guy just attacked her out of nowhere for no good reason.
Yeah.
Because he's a racist.
Yes. That's when your four cousins come back up to the store. Because of something like that. Mm. Now, if they know her, then they look at her and be like, what the fuck did you do? And then you don't go.
Right.
But that's what the story was that they got, was that somebody did something racist to her or called her a bitch. Or something like that.
They were wearing shower caps because it was raining outside. That's right. Because like, there's wet floor signs. So
no, she
probably
wears a shower cap all the time. That's her. That's her leaving the house today. Only place she don't wear a shower cap is the church.
And the shower, ironically. In a tale that seems unlikely and painful, a 24-year-old man living in England has not pooped in more than a month.
Ooh.
Unlike Jason.
Fuck that shit.
According to the BBC, police believe...
No, it's just BBC. Talking about boop and beep. Beep.
Oh, I thought you were on Big Black Cock.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, poop and Big Black, I don't know why. It's just...
I don't know either. Both things you put in your butt, Jason? Is that what you're thinking? Police believe Lamar Chambers, swallowed drugs during a chase with the cops in Essex, London, back in January. Now, a month later, the outlet wrote that Chambers had not used the bathroom in 37 days in what officials believe was an attempt to conceal evidence. The Independent reported that the Essex Police Department provided updates about Chambers' bowel movements on Twitter with the hashtag PoopWatch. However, no tweets could be found. A prisoner has been under constant watch by two police officers in his cell, according to the paper. And as this, by the way, this is from Newsweek. An Essex Police Department spokesperson told Newsweek he could not verify if Chambers finally used the restroom, how many days passed since he last pooped, or provide any comment on the situation. Although there's no official word on when Chambers last used the toilet, going weeks without pooping is dangerous. That's according to Robert Glatter, an emergency physician at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York. How's that for a call? Doctor, you got a moment? We'd like to talk to you. How dangerous would it be to not poop for, I don't know, 2 months? Two months of no pooping? Man. Anyway, he explains the suspect is likely suffering from fecal impaction, which is when hard stool is stuck inside the rectum.
Yeah.
This could cause a bowel obstruction or blockage that prevents food and liquids from moving through the intestine. Chances are he could get physically ill.
Yeah.
Jason. He said, you're holding on to toxins and poisons that would be eliminated with your feces. You can start vomiting. Hey, maybe that's what happened. Additionally, back pain is common for people who are constipated or refuse to poop. This is because the colon dilates and puts pressure on the back. Long term, Chambers could experience fecal incontinence. The doctor explained that the anal sphincter, a muscle outside the anal canal and opening, could get damaged from holding in feces for long periods of time. So,
see, that's why I never hold it in.
Never hold it in. If Chambers doesn't poop soon, he may never be able to control his bowel movements again, which does not bode well for his future plans to hide Evans. So,
no.
Always remember, everybody poops, or so, you should.
So there's this reminds me of a song by Fela Kuti, right? Stinky Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all about how he wouldn't take a shit because the cops pulled him over for smoking weed. And he ate the evidence, and then he went and shit. So the cops were waiting for his shit, and he made a whole song about it.
Mm.
It's a fucking amazing. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Sounds delightful, Jason. Don't know what to tell you.
That's all I could think about as we're telling the story. All I could think about was that song, Sticky Shit. Sorry.
That's unfortunate. It really, really is. Where is my... Oh, yeah, here it is.
Florida. Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
HuffingtonPost.com has an exclusive. Florida public school teacher has a white nationalist podcast. Well, damn it, I was going to have a white nationalist podcast, but now everyone's doing it.
Everyone's
doing it. She is suggesting that Muslims be eradicated from the earth, believes anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, and teaches middle school social studies.
How do you, a social studies teacher?
bad social studies teacher. Her name is Diana, D-A-Y-A-N-N-A. Diana Voltage, she's been removed from the classroom, according to the superintendent. On Friday, March 2nd, the Citrus County School District was made aware by a HuffPo reporter of the concerning podcast. The Human Resources Department was notified, and an investigation was initiated immediately. The teacher has been removed from the classroom, and the investigation is ongoing. She's 25. She's a social studies teacher. She's been secretly hosting the White Nationalist podcast Unapologetic under the pseudonym Tiana Dolichov and bragging about teaching her views in a public school. What a dumb bitch. In her most recent podcast, a guest railed against diversity in schools, dismissing the idea that, quote, a kid from Nigeria and a kid who came from Sweden are supposed to learn exactly the same and have the same IQ. She enthusiastically agreed with the guest and went on to argue that science has proven that certain races are smarter than others. Not the one you're in, lady. In the same episode...
Did she not pay attention when they said that the Nigerians are the highest college graduates in the country?
Yeah, but they graduate from Nigerian colleges.
No.
I'm just playing.
Oh, gosh.
In the same episode, she boasted about bringing her white nationalist beliefs into the classroom and hiding her ideology from administrators. She said that when parents complained to the school's principal about how she's injecting political bias into the classroom, she lied to the principal and said it wasn't true, saying she believed me and backed off. She also agreed with her guest's assertion that more white supremacists need to infiltrate public schools and become teachers. Yes, we need more low-paid white supremacists, please. They don't have to be vocal about their views, but get in there! Be more covert and just start taking over those places. And she said, right, I'm absolutely one of them. Jesus Christ. After Huffington Post made inquiries about her white nationalism to the Citrus County School District, she tweeted that she might disappear for a while and then set her account to private. She also scrubbed the website for her podcast. HuffPo took screenshots of one of the many racist and incendiary statements that she made online. Let me call one of those up for you. She tweeted, "It isn't supremacist or hateful to prefer your own people over others." And you know America's education system is designed to enable victimization when teachers are forced to learn about institutional racism and prove it's real when it isn't. I literally feel brain cells dying as I read this bullshit. Hashtag Sunday morning.
How the fuck did you get to be a social studies teacher?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I could understand if she was any other kind of teacher, but how the fuck did you get to be a social studies teacher? White privilege. Prove it. Prove to me that it exists. Show me statistics that prove whites benefit economically solely because of their race.
I mean, I can just show you the wealth that was earned due to real estate dealings in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s.
She'll come back. She'll come back with talk to me about today.
Redlining.
No. Sorry, that doesn't. Oh, you God. Know, you, there's no. That is today because of that is today.
That's how
because,
you got your money.
Because that's how you got it. So peace out, homie.
Well, she'll just go, but I don't have the money.
That's because you have it's her the family. Same, her family hasn't taken full advantage of their whiteness.
It's the same. It's the same line of thinking of people who go, "Global warming's not real. It's cold here today."
Yes,
fuck that.
She also tweeted, "What does having compassion have to do with the fact that systematic racism and white privilege aren't real?" Anyway, if you want to go to HuffPo, they actually downloaded the podcast before it got taken off.
They got her.
Yeah, they got her.
Good, good. And you know what? If you're a private citizen, screen cap that shit and send it to their bosses. I'm sorry, but you're fucking making racist shit and you're posting like, and it's fucking you, like, fucking. Man, you better believe that I'm gonna fucking fuck you all.
Jason will narc on you.
I'm fucking narking you for being a fucking stupid racist. Get the fuck out of here.
If you're gonna be a white supremacist, you're gonna have a white supremacist podcast.
Hide your shit. Man,
better not show it to me. Or be proud of it.
Or be proud of it. Yeah. Hide it or be proud of it.
Pick one.
Yeah.
One of the two. Don't use a formation of your name in the fucking podcast. That's how fucking stupid.
See, I already thought of that when I named this show.
That's it.
Meanwhile, also in Florida, a 64-year-old Florida woman who caught her fiancé watching porn and masturbating is now facing a criminal charge for allegedly battering her beau. According to an arrest report, Gail Tyndall last week discovered the victim pleasuring himself one morning with the aid of filmed entertainment. In their Fort Pierce residence, Tyndall and the man then argued for a bit before the victim headed to work. When he got home from work, Tyndall, who was reportedly still upset, allegedly grabbed his arm, digging her nails into his right forearm and scratching him. He declined medical treatment. She was arrested on a battery charge and then booked into Florida, into the county jail. She was released on $250 bond. As a condition of her release, she was ordered to have no contact with the victim, and she's not allowed to come within 500 feet of their residence. Okay. Who called the cops?
Somebody called the cops because she was making a bunch of noise. And they probably thought he was beating her.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. But
man,
just what do you care if he's watching porn and beating off before work?
Man, there's some chicks that are just fucking twisted. Just don't get it.
Yeah, don't get it twisted.
Well, she might have been mad because he wasn't giving her any.
Man, she probably wasn't giving it up.
Oh, Jason, that's not very me too of you.
And before we go, so there was an article in L.A. Times yesterday. When wives beat their husband, no one wants to believe it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it says, overall, studies find that female-on-male assaults account for 12 to 40% of injuries from domestic violence. Men are also about 30% of intimate homicide victims, not counting confirmed cases of self-defense. So, Phil Hartman's wife killed him and herself. So
she sure did.
Yes.
Bitch.
So me too, goddammit.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but...
time's up.
That's right. It's time for small town news.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle.
Get out.
Small town news.
Get out. All right. It's time to visit Plattsburgh, New York, and get some speak out.
Oh.
Another winter in the city of Plattsburgh, and a handful of homeowners do not want to clear the sidewalks in front of their house.
Oh, you sons of bitches.
Homeownership in Plattsburgh comes with a certain responsibility. One of those is to keep the sidewalk in front of your property clear of snow. This is not a new law. It's been on the books for decades. If you did not want to or could not accept your responsibilities, then you should have purchased a home in the parts of the city that do not have sidewalks. Your place of residence was your choice.
Yeah, bitch.
The other counselors and the mayor should follow that one counselor's choice and resign. A clear dysfunctional group that can't manage our city. The only reason they're allowed to stay in charge is because nobody bothers to run against most of them.
Wait, but if they all quit, then who would be running the city?
That would be better off with nobody running the city.
Oh, I guess that's what they're saying.
Hey, I'm all for people having fun, but please be respectful. This includes snowmobilers. Many local farmers and homeowners give permission for them to have their trails in their fields or yards. How difficult is it to stay on the clearly marked and groomed trails? I, for one, don't want them riding in my front yard. I don't even want to mention the garbage that gets left behind. I wonder where they'll be riding when the farmers and homeowners have had enough. Something to think about.
It sounds like that was pretty much pointed directly at the snowmobilers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're being dicks. That's why they're being dicks. It's not that hard to, it's not a hard nut to crack. Really isn't. All right, let's continue. It's time to get you a little bit more. Have a guitar shredding. Hey, sorry to see the counselor stepping down. You did a good job for your ward. There are a few other ones that should have gone before you. It's too bad this council doesn't get along. I've lived here all my life. It was a great place years ago, but it isn't looking so great anymore. Bob. And finally, years ago, sidewalks weren't a big issue. Now, all of a sudden, a couple of people get talking about them and blow everything way out. How about we take them out altogether, and then there'll be no more worry. There are no sidewalks in parts of the city, and people walk in the street there. This way, all the bickering and committees can dissolve, and we can move on to another gripe.
That motherfucker needs to clean his sidewalk! That fucker doesn't clean his sidewalk! That's the fucker! And you know what it is? He got the fucking fine! The guy's a fuck... That man, no, fuck you, dude. You need to clear your sidewalk.
Yeah, here's the gripe we'll be moving on to. Why are all these assholes walking in the street?
Yeah.
I can't drive my car. They're walking down the middle of the goddamn street. What's the problem here, Plattsburgh? I believe the lesson here is, much like The Shape of Water, some people are never fucking going to be happy.
No, never.
That's what we've learned. We've learned a lot of things today. Don't be a social studies teacher and have a white nationalist podcast.
If you get puked on, you're probably going to get sick.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of those things, too. Oh yeah, yeah, don't talk to a black man about his kids.
Yeah, don't do it.
That's
if you're unfamiliar with him.
Yes.
Yeah, especially if you're unfamiliar.
Especially if you're unfamiliar. Especially if you might be fucking his ex.
If you're familiar, you know enough not to ask. That was the whole thing.
And don't be using somebody else's shit without their permission.
It's true. Oh yeah, and the NRA really is all about just selling guns. That's it.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
They don't care about you or your rights. They just want to sell more guns and get more money from the gun manufacturers. End of story. Know what you're dealing with. Know that they're taking you for a goddamn rube. That's really it. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hope you took away something special as well. We're here to help. We're back on Friday with another fresh new show. Maybe we'll get to airing some grievances. We didn't have time. We had too much stuff. Too much good, well, like an AM PM, too much good stuff. Like an AM PM if there's no nacho cheese sauce that's been cooking there for 12 days. Yeah.
My stomach just did a little thing when you said that.
Yeah, I think I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
You know it's true. By the way, when's the last time they cleaned those soda fountains? I'll tell you when. Never. They were clean when they were put in. Oh, sort of. Well, right after the first person got one out of each of them to knock the dust out, they were clean for about half a day. That's it.
I just saw the Pepsi guy in the place yesterday, so...
Was he having a Coke? coming up on Friday, what do we got? We got some really good stuff. We're gonna talk a little bit about some hashtags that popped up on Twitter. And, yeah, a lot of very cool stuff. And maybe we'll air a grievance. See you next time. Bye. Oh, yeah, shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Bye!